Blog Talk Radio.
Well, all right. We got a show today. We had nothing but good shows lately. This last show was pretty what we did. Talking about UW and just all the stuff surrounding the program. We're shifting our focus today with a very, very upbeat show. Looking really much forward to speaking to a couple of really happening head coaches here in the Northwest. First of all, we have Eastern Washington Eagle head coach Shante Leggins. We're going to talk about what they've done recently, which has been pretty spectacular. They're really pulling it together as we wind out the conference season have a lot of really good things to talk about. They broke Montana's 13-0 record, and then consequently Montana lost again to Idaho the next game, so they're down to 13-2, and Idaho is making a big push. So this Big Sky Conference is definitely in contention, although I think Montana still has the inside track to win it, they got to pull their act together at this point. They lose another game, and it's really slipping away from them. So, and Idaho and Eastern, and of course Weber, right now has only two losses. So the Weber could very easily win it too. So it's going to probably come down to a game with Montana and Weber, but a lot could happen between other than that even to affect the race. And then on the other side of the state, we have Jim Hayford and the Seattle U Redhawks in the WAC in the WAC conference, and they're really getting it done too. So I'm expecting to get a call here from Coach Shante Leggins here shortly. I'll put it on speakerphone so I can just text him to make sure he's calling, and such as that. Okay. Hopefully he's ready to call in. Ding ding, to here he is. Okay, cool, awesome. There we go. We got him. Okay, cool. Good deal.
I'm glad I read your text again.
Oh boy, no problem. Everything's good. We're good to go. And get you off speaker here. Cool. Well, you know, I was just talking. The whole show so far has really much been about what's been going on with you. And just this Big Sky Conference race is just something else. I mean, it's really heating up, and you guys are, you know, heavily responsible for that, what you did with beating Montana and then turning around and getting a win over Montana State and putting yourself right in a position to make a jump. And then, of course, Idaho beat Montana, which even tightened it up more. So now Montana and Weber have two losses each, but Montana has the advantage of one more win. But everybody else is – or not everybody else, but you and a couple other teams are right there as well. So it's going to be a real battle. It seems like Montana needs to get their act together, and they got a pretty big challenge coming up. They got a bunch of them, actually. They could easily fall and make this thing really wide open, but they got that big game against Weber coming up. And then you guys got some major challenges too. So it's going to be really fun to watch. How are you feeling?
It'll be fun. I feel great, man. You know, I feel really good about where we're at. You know, I feel like there's a couple games we gave away. You know, I always go back to this game against Northern Arizona at their place when we lost in overtime, and then when we had Idaho at our place. I mean, that puts us right back in the mix and in the swing of things. But also, I'm still looking at, you know, if we can go in and beat Weber State and and Idaho can do the same. I mean, we could probably challenge it for that third spot. So, you know, we're really fighting for third or fourth here, you know, as we move forward, unless, you know, Montana has a complete breakdown and you know, because we can't catch, I don't think, Idaho, because they have the tiebreaker with us. Yeah.
So. Oh, they can't. Okay, cool.
But Weber State's the only one we could probably catch.
Yeah, you could maybe get in there.
And then they play. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But the key thing is, though, I mean, mathematically, you could, because Montana's lost two straight games. What if they were to just to really drop off here? I mean, a lot could happen.
Yeah.
A lot could happen. Weber could drop off. So it's still a game. I understand mathematically it's going to be tough, but the thing is, your team is really coming together at a good time, and that bodes well for this tournament.
It always bodes well. You know, we're playing with some injuries to some key positions, some key parts, but, you know, the guys are stepping up and becoming, you know, pretty much dependent on the guys we're playing. You know, we've been doing all season long, next man up. You know, we lost our 6'5 point guard who I, you know, has been getting calls from, you know, he played with various NBA players. He's really good. And, you know, he ends up being hurt and he's only played 8 games this season. And so that really put us in a bind, and you try to figure out who you want to put in that spot. Do you want to put a freshman in? And you know what? I said, you know, we got to go ahead and play the freshman because he actually runs the team. A very good player, shoots the ball, and he doesn't give us, you know, some of the things that Luka brought, but he gives us different things and different attributes, and that helps us out, you know, all the way in the long run. So that's been good. And then losing Jesse Hunt's only helped us find Mason, and so Mason's playing great basketball right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, let's just be real here. Bogdan is just a big national story. I mean, he's averaging 20 points a game, 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He's just a machine right now, you know.
Yeah.
90%, 91% the free throw line. Yeah.
Yeah, and league he's averaging 22 points, you know, 7.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, shooting over 50% from the field, shooting over, you know, 35% from the three. He's only missed one free throw. I think he's at 63 free throws in a row. And
yeah,
so,
he,
you know, the record's 73. And so he's having a great season. He's playing great. In my eyes, there's not a better player who gives more to his team than Bogdan in the league this year. I mean, there's some very talented players. There might be some guys who are getting some NBA looks and this and that. But Bogdan, I believe, is the most talented ball player. You know, he does the most for his team, you know. And for a team that was picked to finish 7th and 8th, and to have 2 key injuries to 2 starters, you know, that's really huge on his behalf. He's taking a lot on his shoulders. He does ball handling. He rebounds. He facilitates. He scores. You know, he leads in the locker room by example, but also now he's leading by, you know, being vocal. And that also helps our team right there because he hasn't been there in the past couple of years. And so he's changed, you know, his whole demeanor towards this season. Understand how important it is for him to be that guy.
He's been the guy for you guys. I mean, averaging 20 points a game. But the other thing is that, you know, you don't have a big list of double-figure scorers. You got, you know, that he's your only double-figures guy. You've got, you know, Hunt at about, you know, 8.5 points a game, 9 points a game. You got Denzel with 8, Mason with 7, Ty with 7, Sir Washington with 7. Luka was averaging guard at 6 before he went down. And Jack Perry's at 6. You got a lot of guys that are contributing. They're real even around there. And it seems to me the way things are going, it's guys understanding their roles and being able to come together as a team. Is that fair to characterize it that way?
Well, that's very fair. You know, it's funny because, you know, we have different guys on different nights step up and help. And, you know, Jacob Davidson's been great. He went for 12 last game. You know, Jesse's the one who went out. He was helping us. Before he went down, he was averaging close to a double-double in league and, you know, over 3 games. And so, you know, it could be somebody else. Cody Benzel's had a 20-point game. You know, he's been 15-7. He's had 7 threes in multiple games, 6 threes in multiple games. Jack Perry's had some big clutch moments where he's hit some big shots and you know, brought us over. So it's really hard for us to be scouted because different guys on different nights, and it usually goes with how they defend Bogdan, you know. And we're able to, you know, figure out and decipher during the game how they're going to guard Bogdan. Are they going to deny Bogdan the ball? If they're going to do that, then we could use Bogdan in different ways. He could become a great screener, which he doesn't mind. He can go, you know, space the court and stand in the corner and just take his one guy out of the way. And now we're playing pick and roll basketball with our bigs getting to the rim for easy layups. There's a lot of different things we could do, especially just depending on how they defend Bogdan. If they don't want to give us the 3, then Bogdan has a 40-point night. if they, you know, they're trying to stop us from, you know, driving and kicking, and they want to trap Bogdan, Bogdan's going to find the assist guy and have 9, 10, 11 assists. And so it's really hard to defend. And you said it right. Guys are, you know, understanding and attacking their roles. You know, they're not sitting back like, well, I could be doing this and that. They understand what it's taken to win, and they understand what it takes to really get out there and be a team. And it helps that, you know, when you get on Bogdan, he takes it just like everybody else. And, you know, I get on him probably, him and Jack Perry, the most about their play, because it's important how well they play.
Yeah, it seems like you've done a good job, Coach. I mean, you haven't really talked about your coaching, but I will. I mean, I think you've done a really good job as a first-year coach. And, you know, to be fair, you've been there for a number of years with Jim Hafer and got to know all these guys. But you guys have really developed a real system there, and it seems like it hasn't really changed as much as far as, you know, having a big adjustment period with you being the head coach there. And, I mean, it's also amazing how many professional prospects you've produced there. I mean, you've obviously got Tyler Harvey. Well, it goes back before you guys with Rodney Stuckey and such and others. But, I mean, consistently since you've been there, there's been Harvey. And then, of course, Wiley. And then now you've got Bogdan. Yeah, exactly. You know, you really
– And I agree with that. And that's you know, not including, you know, Cliff Coleman, who went to NBA camps, Drew Brandon, who's playing at a high level right now in Germany, and Venky Joyce, who's unbelievable, who's all-time
leading scorer
up until this year. Yeah, and
yeah,
you got Felix Van Hoff, who's playing in the first division in Australia, and that has a lot to do with, you know, the people and the players that, you know, Coach Hayford and I brought in here in the past, and you know, we're building upon that in the system he brought in. I mean, it's been terrific being able to have him as a, you know, mentor as we move forward. And the things he's taught me on the offensive side of the ball has been, you know, unbelievable. You know, I take everything I've learned from him, and obviously you got to put your own little deal to it. But no, it's been a lot. It has a lot of his footprint on it, especially when you get guys that, you know, shoot the ball. He loves shooting threes, and you know, we were the number one team in 3-point made this season, and we're shooting, you know, 37% from three, and with a number one 2-point field goal percentage, you know, shooting team in the conference right now. And, you know, so it has a lot to do with that. And then you bring in coaches like, you know, Nick Booker, who's a great defensive mind, and our defense is now, you know, has been part of our trademark this season. You know, we've had some bad game shooting, but we've been in every game because defensively we're one of the top two teams in defense with up there with Montana. And so, you know, we do a good job with the glass, and so having a great coaching staff with Nick Booker, David Riley, Bobby Suarez, they bring a different element than we've had before, because the defensive, the mindset, you know, they brought in, and what we're doing defensively is a lot different than we've done in the past, and so it's great. But then you have minds, offensive minds like David Riley, and you know, wanting to tweak some things offensively, which is making, you know, the game go a lot smoother, you know, and so I lean on those guys a lot, I think we have one of a young staff, but we have a really good staff that works really hard together, and I think we work really, really well together, and so I think that's also showing with the teamwork we have on the court.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. We got a caller from the 509. Is that you, Jay Townsend? Are you there? Oh, who's the caller from the 509? Oh, they just want to listen in, I guess. No problem. Well, at any rate, I've got Coach Hayford. Is it Coach Hayford on the line? Couldn't be. All right. Well, I got Coach Hayford coming on next, and it's going to be really exciting. I didn't recognize his number, but who knows? He maybe has other phones. But I was going to say, he's going to be coming on to talk a little Seattle U basketball and what's been going on with them. And
how about
but
that? Right?
In a couple of minutes here, but I got another question or so for you. Basically, as far as what's going on with Bogdan, I mean, I have seen his name out there being discussed in some of the draft discussion. I don't know if it's way too early to talk about any of that kind of stuff, but have you gotten you know, inquiries from NBA people about him?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of calls about him. You know, he's doing a lot of things that, you know, well, I mean, he spreads the floor. He could come off a pick and roll. He's shooting the three well. You know, he's really hard to guard the small space. And so, you know, that's what you need to do, to play at that level. You know, he's going to probably leave here a 2,000-point scorer, fighting for maybe that all-time big sky scoring scoring record, but at the same time, he's such a great teammate, and he works so hard. And, you know, everything we've asked him to do, work on this, work on that, he's done that, and he's gotten much better. And so everything he's done, you know, I got to give him full credit. He's gotten the gym and worked on it himself and put himself in this position where he's getting people coming out to watch him. He's getting people to call in and find out more information about him. And as teams find out more information, they're going to find out how good of a young man he is and how his character just outweighs anything else. And he's a winner. You know, he always wants to win anything he has to do to win games. I mean, you know, for a guy who averages 20-something points a game to take only three shots against Sac State the first time we played him because of the way they were defending him and he was just passing the ball. I mean, those things right there go a long way, you know, and when they start getting into the detail of what kind of player, what kind of person he is and how he helps his team win, I think, you know, NBA guys, European guys, they're all going to see how important it is to have him on the team because he brings it every single day and no matter what role he's in, he'll be good at that role.
Well, that's fantastic. It sounds to me, I mean, we've got so much more to talk about, but I really want to have you on again once we get past this Big Sky race and into the at the end of the season going into March Madness, and hopefully there'll be something to talk about there. But we definitely want to talk to you soon, and I really appreciate you coming on this morning and keeping us up on this. And we didn't even have time really to talk about much about this great win you had over Montana, but that was just absolutely fantastic.
Make sure you get Coach Hayford on there and give him some tough questions. Ask him when he's getting his 20th win, the first time in Seattle U basketball history in a long time that they're doing so well. It's so fun to watch him play and watch him coach. He's doing a great job with those guys. And, I mean, to be where he's at right now, and, you know, I had no doubt in my mind he'd turn that thing around and get that thing rolling. He's a great coach.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to speaking
Thank
to Coach Hayford. I'm a huge
That's
fan of both
nice.
You guys.
Oh, hey, Coach.
Oh, there he is. I knew it was him. Sneaky, too.
That's all right, man.
It's great to hear you. So Coach Hayford, obviously we have Shante on here. Anything you want to say to him off the bat?
Just keep doing great. Love those guys. You're doing amazing.
Trying to get up to 20 like you, Big Dog. Love you, too, Coach.
All right,
have
you guys.
Good one.
Well, here's
listening.
All right, Shante, thank you so much, Coach. We'll be looking to speak to you soon as well. Well, Coach Hayford, I'll tell you what, I was really mad because I had to work over in Tri-Cities, and I was able to listen to the whole game with Dave Grosby, and I got the signal even through the mountains and everything and listened to every minute of that game against New Mexico State, and boy, what a game. What a game.
Yeah, it's great. You know, number 26 team in the country, and they pretty much own the WAC, and you know, put a little dent in them and win in overtime. So very fulfilling, really happy for the players, happy for our school. The 19th win set the all-time record high, I think, in like 50 years or something like that. I don't pay much attention to all that, but
right,
just a lot of happy people here.
Yeah, it's been a while since they did. I mean, I'm older than you, I believe, but I was around when the Chieftains were really doing it, and I saw some of those great Chieftain teams when I was a little kid. I saw all those guys. So they had some great teams back then, but, you know, obviously it ended, you know, in the early 70s and or the late 70s, and, you know, and then you've really taken it, and Cameron did a job to get it to where it was when you took it up, and you've really done a great job, and, I mean, it's just it's really going well, and it's very exciting. And that was a heck of a game. And I mean, it's just the magic is really, really moving forward with the program. So, just basically, you know, that being said, you know, you still got some big challenges coming up in your schedule, and obviously, it's you know, every game is real important at this point if you want to try to grind your way into this thing. I mean, what can you say? I mean, what right now you've got, you got to play, Grand Canyon's a tough team. You've got to go to their place. You got Cal State Bakersfield on the road. You got three road games, and your last road game is against a real tough team, which you have battled with for, you know, a while now, Utah Valley. So, you know, you pretty much got to win all three of those games if you want to try to get that number one seed. It's going to be tough, you know, but, what's your take on the way things are going now?
Well, I don't think we got to do anything. I mean, we just need to keep getting better. And
right.
We play seven guys, and three of them are brand new grad transfers. Of the other four, they had 5 years of playing experience, and the key to the whole season has just been getting these guys to just get to know one another and find different ways to get better every week, and let the results take care of themselves, and just see how we can keep getting better. And I haven't hung on any of these, got a win, and just kind of just kept staying into the process of what can we do to make you the best player you can be, and what can we do to make the team the best team that you can be. And that's what seems to work. And so, would I love for them to go win in Vegas and make the NCAA tournament? Absolutely. That'd be a magical first year. But with everything they've accomplished already, I just want to stay in the process with them and not look at it through that other lens.
Well, there's a handful of hardcore people that, really were, thinking that things were going to, that we're really, looking closely at the possibility of maybe, getting this team could really be improved to the point of getting into a postseason thing when the season started. Most people said that, oh, these guys are a new coach and blah, 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 this and that, and they're going to struggle to get into the top end of the conference. And I bet one of them lunch, so it looks like I'm going to have a good chance. I'm going to be eating free lunch here, that you're going to make one of the top four spots in this conference. But, I really appreciate the key thing is that you guys have really put it together, and it seems like it's started with just great shooting, but it's turned into a real team defensive effort as well. I think over as this conference season kind of wound down.
Yeah,
what do you owe that to?
Well, I think the guys are best at the most important stat, which is winning. We're 37th in the nation right now in field goal percentage allowed. We're kind of big and long. Obviously, Aaron being 7'3", and
yep.
We're not a steals team. We turn the ball over too much. We're shooting the heck out of it in November, December. I haven't been able to find the basket that well the last 2 months, but we just keep somehow finding a way to be a little bit better. Six of the conference wins are by 4 points, 3 points, 2 points, 1 point, and two overtime wins.
Yep.
And so just find ways to come together and play for one another and be 1 point better than the other team. And that's kind of what this team's been able to find a way to do. And it's really fun. It's neat. I just caught that last 30 seconds, but really happy for Shante in his first year. And obviously,
yeah,
the hardest part of leaving Eastern was leaving friends and leaving Bogdan for his senior year. And he's just done amazing job. He's an amazing young man. He's having a great year. If he's not the Big Sky MVP, that's a joke. And it's been a great move, and it's going good. And this group exceeded our expectations. There's a lot of old, faithful Seattle U fans that are really, really happy with what's going on. So it's happy to see them be happy. And we've had some great crowds at Key the last three games, great energy there, and finished 16-2 at home. So it's great playing home games.
Boy, that's something else. 16-2 at home. And, and 19 wins. And again, you got a great chance of getting a bunch more. It's, the key thing is New Mexico's really got – I mean, they did have a complete stranglehold on this league. Now that's only one game difference, but they're playing Chicago State, Missouri, Kansas City, and Rio Grande Valley on the road. They're playing Chicago State, Missouri, Kansas City at home, and Rio Grande Valley on the road. They've got three games, not against the top teams in the conference. You think that they can hold on. If they lose a game, though, there's a chance you could sneak in there. But the key thing is this is all going to be settled, and it's going to be a one bid league as far as the NCAA tournament. More in all indications. I mean, I know that there was some talk that New Mexico State might be an at-large bid if they lost the conference tournament, and that still could happen, I suppose, but a lot of the Joe Lunardis of the world are saying no. But we'll see what happens. You know, it's hard to say. But this conference tournament is going to be interesting. And, I mean, do you think that how wide open is it going to be, do you think?
I think New Mexico State is the favorite. You know, they're the top 50 team in the country. And, you know, the way college basketball is going, those Power Five conferences, the Big East, American Athletic Association, probably St. Mary's and Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference. You know, there's less than 10 teams or conferences that are not one bid leagues. I mean, the people with the money secured access to the money. And so, you know, it's kind of a non-story. It kind of is what it is. You're either in that or you're not. You know, and that's what's amazing about the Gonzaga, St. Mary's, East Tennessee State that have been able to kind of fight through that to get consideration. Eric Musselman at Nevada has done it.
Yeah, but he's on top now at his league.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, in 3 years, he's done an amazing job. And that kind of is what it is. And then our conference tournament, yeah, I don't know if we're built for 3 days, you know, playing 6-7 guys, but there's really no one in the WAC. Bakersfield, Kansas City play a lot of guys, but those top four teams in the WAC are all pretty much seven guy teams. So maybe the depth won't be as issue because everyone's going to kind of have to fight through that. You know, Bakersfield just took it to Grand Canyon last week. Just got done watching that film. New Mexico State loses to both us, Utah Valley. So who knows? Yeah, that's why you got to play them, right?
That's exactly how you want it. That's what it is. And luckily, because of the miracle of the internet and streaming video, a lot of these games you can actually watch on your computer and or on your TV set if you have a hookup. So it's going to be fun to keep an eye on what you guys are doing and all these other teams. And of course, you will be on TV once you get into that conference tournament, you know, hopefully. And so, you know, but looking at the way things are kind of going with your team, I mean, a lot of people in basketball, you know, don't really understand the impact that grad transfers have, and having seen it over the past few years and with a lot of teams, I was just immediately blown away when you were able to land three really big, very productive grad transfers this season. And, you know, I guess my first question is that possible you could do that again for next year? Because you got some great guys that have been sitting out for a year that are going to come in and really help you. I mean, and you got some veterans, you got Menzies, who'll be a senior, and you got Means back and a lot of players back, you know, everybody back basically, other than those grad guys. You know, are you going to be able to go out and hit another home run with grad transfers? What do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. The three guys we got are all amazing guys. They're great guys. And
okay.
I'm really appreciative that they put their trust in their final year in us and our staff. A big part of that is just Seattle. It's a great place to recruit to. It's attractive to, you know, somebody who's already a college grad. You look at just what Seattle has to offer, and Seattle U is right in the middle of just a fantastic neighborhood and a great city. So that really sold it. And then I should be super grateful, and I am appreciative of Austin McBroom and Jake Wiley, because they had such great experiences, grad transfers, that kind of showed, hey, we know how to fit these guys in. So we've redshirted four really, really good players this year that'll make a big impact next year. And so if we were to add one or two grad transfers with those four, that might be a tipping point. It just really needs to be the right guy. But you got Menzies back, you got Matei back, Scott Alenio's coming to his own, Morgan Means playing really well right now.
Right.
And so, yeah, maybe one more piece. Maybe that's the right thing, but you know, it's not even like you can start recruiting those guys until the season's over and they declare that they're looking for a grad program.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot to play. We're not really talking postseason and off season yet, but I mean, plus you've got a really good class coming in of freshmen too, as well, that are going to make a big difference for you. I have a feeling as well. So you got a lot going on with this team. And, I mean, right now it's just one game at a time as always. But if you were to, you know, to continue on your winning ways and perhaps make a big splash in the WAC tournament, do you sense there's a chance that you could get into a postseason? Is there any possibility you could get into NIT? What type of a postseason option do you think you have in your upside? What's that?
Their RPI is high enough for that.
Yeah.
And again, those spots are pretty. The teams that win their league and don't win their tournament get those spots, and then the rest go to the Power Five schools.
Right.
So we'll be in the CBI CIT. I mean, we've already ensured that by having 19 wins, and
great.
And that's great to get them back in the postseason. I think Cameron had them in there 3 years ago, two and three years ago, and so that'll be a great step forward. But you know, you want to go win in Vegas, make the NCAA tournament.
Absolutely, and that's what it's going to break down to. You know, and I appreciate that, and I know that you know, everyone's really excited, and you've definitely got some games to play here. I mean, unfortunately, they're all on the road, if I'm not mistaken, at this point.
No, you're correct.
You've just played your last home game, so you got three very challenging road games to prove. So your team can prove to themselves and to everybody else that they can win tough games and as a season winds down here.
I don't need to go prove that. I've already proved it.
Exactly. You're right about that.
I got to stick up for my guys, you know? Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to give them more motivation. They got to prove they can do it on the road. There you go. Now I got you. They can prove they can do it on the road. They've won some good road games too. So, okay, so that's good.
We're 2-2 in the WAC. The preseason road games were all super hard, probably overscheduling for what they did. They played UW tough there. We had a big lead on Washington State, but we just didn't have it yet to hold on to that. And that's when they were playing pretty good. Belmont's a great team. They beat us. St. Mary's a great team. They beat us. So, yeah. I think this team's really achieved well. Just really, really proud of them.
I do, too.
We're having a lot of fun together. So,
absolutely.
I love being on. It was great being on with Shante. And
I
love how you care so much about Seattle basketball. And so I'm glad I could give you this time. And thanks.
I'm really happy to have you on. I realize that our time is up now. And thank you very much, Coach Hayford. This has really been fun, as it always is when I have you on here, and you always field the tough questions and give me the real answers.
I don't know about that. Yeah, you know, you're great. You know, you care about Seattle basketball, so it's great to
have
you. Good stuff. Also, Travis,
sounds good.
Great job out there in Montana. Got to shine light on him. But my Eagles got them good, snapped their win streak. So, lots of good basketball in the Northwest. Thanks for shining a light on it.
Hey, man, it's
appreciate
really good stuff, and it's good to have you. All right, Coach Jim Hayford, we'll talk to you soon again after, hopefully, as we're talking about a postseason bid somewhere. And good luck with everything. All right. That was Coach Hayford, and this is Jim Bass night. We got a half hour left. And there's, you know, just going to be me, and I have a feeling unless one of these callers calls in that I invited, just these oddballs that I fraternize. But basically, I mean, just to give you a real, you know, kind of overall look at what I'm thinking about, you know, in as far as Seattle U goes, I think that based on what I've seen so far this year. And you know, just the way they're playing right now, the way they played against New Mexico State, if they can go on the road and beat a Grand Canyon on the road, and also beat a Bakersfield team on the road, a Utah Valley team on the road, those are three teams that, you know, Bakersfield's kind of had a bad year, but they're still a tough program for the last few years, and I think they've been playing okay lately, as Jim, Coach Hayford alluded to. That's three very tough road games. If they can go out there and get those wins, and as I said, prove that they can get big time wins, even after this incredible win, here against New Mexico State, that hopefully will not be the peak of their season, that they can actually top that with going out and getting their job done on the road here now. You never know. You never know. Because you're looking at the truth of the matter in this conference is that New Mexico State is only one game up. They've got three fairly easy games against lower echelon teams. Their games are, for the most part, home games. So they're in a pretty good spot. I mean, they're in a really pretty good spot. They got one game on the road against Rio Grande Valley, you know. But let's just say they drop one of those games. Missouri, Kansas City's playing pretty well lately. Let's just say they drop one of those games. That number one seed is a possibility. So CILU has everything to play for. Everything to play for. And even if they don't, just getting that number two seed and putting themselves in a position maybe to have the inside track on the championship game there in Vegas is going to be a big thing for them. And I think it all comes down to just playing every single game and doing what they do best. I mean, the thing about CILU right now is that really what it breaks down to is that they've got some real solid players. I mean, you know, like I said, they've got a bunch of guys coming in next year that are really good. But Morgan Means is really in his just now his sophomore year has really, been a solid contributor. Played well at that point guard position as a ball control kind of a guy that can penetrate and dish and score and defend well. And Jordan Hill is a heck of a player. He got that big shot that really put those guys in a position to win that game, that big and one against New Mexico State, as well as put in a real good game against those guys. And he's just been like that all year long for them. He's senior. They've got Matej Tavis, who's just a sophomore this year, and he's got two more years left and is a big-time scorer, really, a big-time shooter. He's got a potential to, you know, be one of the all-time scorers probably at CILU. He keeps up improving as much as he has. You've got the grad transfer senior, Rashad Gittins, who did a great job defensively for them and offensively as well, too, against New Mexico State. And this keeps on going. Hurley, he had a great game. He's a solid grad transfer. Then they've got some depth guys that are going to play a bigger role, like Aaron Nettles, will I'm sure play a much bigger role next year from Seattle Prep. And then the big guy, Aaron Menzies, Miles Carter is a big power forward type of a player. From Seton Hall, transfer that set out this year, that's going to mean a lot for them. And they're going to have plenty of things to talk about. Jake Spurgeon is a wing that can really shoot it. And, you know, and so on. Scott Olineo and Mattia DeCampo are two Italian guys that are going to weigh into the mix for sure. Scott's 6'10" and, Madi is 6'5" wing. So, you know, and then these freshmen, I mean, they've got Trevon Hopkins, who's a big-time player, big-time recruit, like a Pac-12 level recruit guard. So he's a guy that could very easily play starters minutes or or, you know, be right in a starting role as a freshman next year. And then they've got, of course, they'll be competing with, he'll be competing with Deshaun McDowell, who's, you know, from, who played for SMU and all that. And, you know, so, and then they've got another big tall shooter from Santa Monica, California. And he's no joke either, really. I mean, he's a guy that could very easily be a star in college basketball. He's a big, tall guy that can shoot the ball, 6'8", I believe it is. And so, I mean, I can't, his name escapes me right now, but that's going to be interesting to see what he can do. And I think when all said and done, Seattle U is in pretty good shape right now, and it's going to be really fun to watch them do what they're doing. Eastern, on the other hand, is in this big sky race, and it's just the whole big sky is filled with teams from the Northwest, number one, that we cover a lot of them. And number two, there's a lot of great coaching. There's a lot of great coaching and a lot of great talent. I mean, Montana, certainly had seemed like a lock on this conference of the big sky. And then they got knocked off two games in a row by Eastern and by Idaho by 2 points. So that was kind of surprising. And now Montana's got to dig in, but they're still in kind of the driver's seat, but they really got to get their act together. Again, Idaho is a team that can possibly rise up and make some noise there. You never know. I mean, you just never know. I mean, it's kind of hard for me to guess what would happen. My guess is that Montana will hang in there, but they got Weber to deal with, and they're going to be playing them on the first of March, as well as a Montana State team, which is going to be, you know, they beat them pretty soundly at Bozeman earlier this year. And so now it's in Missoula, but they're just coming off two losses. So Montana State, I mean, Montana State might see something in those losses that works for them. So it's going to be interesting to see what can happen with that game, if that's a game that Montana really establishes themselves again, or if this continues to go downwards. So, and then they face Weber for what looks like basically all the marbles. They both have two losses, and then they finish up, Montana does, with Idaho State, before the Big Sky tournament. So, it's going to be really interesting. And Idaho State's not a bad team, really. They're 7-7 right now in the Big Sky. They're no duck. So, I mean, it's going to be the Idaho State game is going to be at home. And all three of those games are at home for Montana. So it kind of bodes well for them. But at the same time, they just lost two straight games, and they got to get their act together. So, it's hard to say. I mean, it's a tough league. I thought Portland State was going to be a real factor. They've kind of fallen off, but they've also had some pretty solid wins too. Northern Colorado also has done well. They're 9-6 and have won 18 games this year. So, you know, they might come into play too. So this is a league with a lot of talent. And again, Montana State has a NBA prospect in Tyler Hall as well to contend with, and they're at 6-9. So it's going to be fun to watch this Big Sky, one of the more interesting leagues, lower end leagues in the country. I say that with a lot of respect, because, like I say, they're becoming almost a mid major, especially when it comes to producing NBA players. I mean, Weber State, now Montana State with Tyler Hall, Eastern, Montana has a bunch of talented guys and have put guys into the league and with fair regularity, and they're going to probably do that shortly with some of the guys that Travis has brought in. Maude Rory is a very good NBA prospect, really. I think he is. And there's others. So it's going to be a fun league to watch, and that the Big Sky Tournament is going to be a great TV event. And so I'm looking forward to all that stuff. And, you know, getting back to just the whole Northwest picture, we did a really good job, I thought, in the last couple of shows, especially the last show, to really talk about the situation at UW. And, you know, I think that, you know, they did turn around and get a really big win over Colorado, and I'm very happy for them. I really, and much of people don't think I am, but I am. And I was very happy to see David Crisp have a really solid game and bring his act to together for that game, and hopefully he can keep it going and they can squeak out an NCAA tournament bid that they want and feel that they can attain. If not, I think they're in really good shape because of their low RPI and high strength of schedule to get an NAIT bid, which is amazing. Considering what happened last year with the same group of guys, and real good job by Mike Hopkins to get these guys together. I've you know, voiced my opinion about the firing of Romar and all that, and I'm not going to back down from that. But as I watch, you know, what's going on with Dejon Davis and Jonte Porter, and you know what I know about Michael Porter. And the kind of talent he is and the kind of bad judgment it would take to do what Jen Cohen did. And knowing Lorenzo Romar as I do and his history and his dedication and his understanding of the overall situation and the facts of what he's had to deal with, at least not all, but a good deal of the facts. And, you know, I think that it was horrible what happened. But I think that being said, I'm hoping for the best for Husky basketball, and I look forward to see a rebuilding effort by Hopkins. And I certainly hope that the rumors that I'm hearing out there about him being kind of there for only a short period of time or some sort of bargaining chip for, you know, some sort of a gift from Nike or something like that, that could go away if they go with Adidas or this kind of hoo-ha. I hope that doesn't turn out to be that way. Whatever happens, I hope that the Washington State is a program I can be proud of, and that the NCAA takes action and the FBI takes action in a very strong and forceful way to clean up college basketball and get rid of the, and really, even if they have to take on the majority of their big producing revenue members in college basketball in order to clean up the problems that have been exposed by this FBI investigation and are continuing to be exposed, and I think they'll be exposed much more greatly from the way things are going. But by the way, Louisville had to vacate their 2013 title, which was the one that Peyton Siva was such a big part of, from Seattle, from Franklin High School. Jason Kerr is his coach, and he's now at O'Day. I think that, you know, there's going to be a lot that's going to happen, and I sincerely hope it happens, and I hope it happens very completely and forcefully, and that the NCAA penalties and sanctions and such are some of the more serious and forceful and real ones that they've ever leveled. These slap on the wrist do no good, as we've seen, and the FBI is kind of laying out the roadmap for them. They better react to them. Or to me, it's just a joke. It's an absolute joke of a governing body. It might as well be you know, a banana republic, a kangaroo court, all those kinds of adjectives and cliches come to mind. These teams that have gone out there and got involved in pay to play have set up systems where guys don't go to school, really, who get, you know, get players through paying people, you know, in AAU basketball or high school coaches or agents or all kinds of different means.
this stuff has got to be curtailed. It's never going to go away, but it's got to be something that people are very afraid to do, and are that the those that cheat are the ones that really live in fear and shame, and not, you know, walk down Main Street and have a parade every year, and for that matter, 12 months out of the year. That's what's got to happen. So I've said my piece. Moving forward, the Cougars had a really nice win over Colorado, by the way. That was a good win. I enjoyed watching that game, and it was really good to see the Cougars have a good moment. And I really hope that, I think it really bodes well for the program. I know that Ernie's been under a lot of criticism for what he's done. A lot of people around the Cougars fan base are not happy with him, and he's done a couple of things to egg them on, you know, said a couple of things and done a couple of things that are questionable. But they got a great win against Colorado, and you know, they did a much better job against a Utah team that really dominated UW and made them look pretty bad, which I thought they would. I think Utah is just not a good matchup for UW, and I feel similarly, unfortunately, about Stanford and Oregon. So I think that if UW's going to get wins, it's going to be against Cal on the road and Oregon State at home. I think those are both winnable games, but also both very easily lose. So, but getting back to Washington State, I think they're a little different team, and we'll see what happens with them. They've had much less success than Washington this year thus far, but they've got some great players, all of whom are coming back, much like the Huskies. And they've got some players coming in, as I understand, that are pretty good too. Saw a little bit of C.J. Ellaby in some of the highlight films going up against Garfield for Cleveland. And he's got a great-looking shot. He's got great height. I think he's going to be a really big piece for the Cougs. And Roberto Gittins, there was a time – sounds like James Brown. There was a time. But there was a time Roberto Gittins was, you know, arguably one of the three best players in the state of Washington, along with, DeJounte Murray, who's now just absolutely killing it Noel and Dejon Davis. And he was, at the time of DeJounte, also considered one of the best. So he looks like he might end up at Wazoo again. He was there before and had to get out, but he looks like there's a chance he might be able to get in this year, or at least commit to get in the following year. So that'd be good to see him heading there. He's a big point producer and big-time player. But they need to get some bigs. They need to get some bigs. So that's going to be the challenge for the Cougars, is getting some big men in there. And I would think that the Cougars, you know, I don't know why it is that they're having a hard time finding bigs. They didn't really play these JC guys that they brought in that much. They're starting to play them towards the end of the year. Pollard, Franks are kind of it's not really happening. They're good players. Franks is obviously a great player. He could easily leave this year and probably get drafted. He's really looking good. Hopefully he'll stick around for one more year and maybe play himself up. He certainly improved a lot between his sophomore and junior year. So if he can continue to improve, he could maybe even play himself up into the upper reaches of the first round. But he might be in first round already, but most places are putting him in the second round. But if he could play himself into the first round as a senior, and in doing so, lead the Cougs back to being a respectable team in this conference, I'm sure a lot of fans here in the state and this region would be very happy, including myself. Love to see them do that. And I think the key to that is for Ernie and his guys, Ed Haskins. There's a guy out there by the name of Jerron Brooks that could really, really help. He's a former player of Ed Haskins. The Cougars, you get Jerron Brooks in there to go with Ellaby and the rest and that senior team. That would be a guy that could really help them out. And he would be a natural to replace Franks after 1 year as being the sort of the lead guy, you know, over there. So, I mean, he's a real strong player. And I know Washington is looking at him, too. He just decommitted from St. John's. He already decommitted from USC. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does. And there's a lot of teams that are going to be after him as well. But, you know, they need to get some bigs. And that's one obvious one that they're probably going after already pretty hard and heavy. Curtis Allen's a guy that has been there for a while and has consistently gotten players out of Tacoma and out of the Puget Sound area. And, of course, there's Benny Seltzer, who's been in the national scene of the recruiting ranks for quite a while with a number of major programs and knows the Midwest and South and all those places from stays he's had at big schools. So we'll see if they can come up with it. They probably get some kind of a JC guy would be great if somebody really good is there to be had. Obviously, a grad transfer is hard to get in. Not as hard as it is for Washington, but I have a feeling it's also hard over at Washington State from what I'm hearing, but maybe they could luck out and get somebody like that. They got it with Bernstein this year, which was good. Maybe they can up the ante and get another one next year. That would be helpful. Bernstein was a pretty good fit for him. Didn't really take him to the promised land, but it was a pretty reasonable fit. But that's what they need to do. They need to get more bigs. They got the guards. I mean, boy, they got the guards. Malachi Flynn is just nothing but fun to watch that guy play point guard. And he's a heck of a good shooter and just a scrappy player. It's turned out to be everything they'd hoped. And Milan Aqua, nice solid first year. He'll be back. It's a good picture for the Cougs, really. When you talk about guards and wings, when you talk about bigs, it's a little bit more it's a little bit more difficult. So I think that, you know, we'll just have to see what can be done, you know, what can be done over there. I think there's a lot, really, truthfully, you know. I think with Franks coming back, I mean, that's going to be some sizzle for sure. You know, and obviously with Flynn, you know, I mean, there's players there, but again, it's just a matter of they can come up with some guys that can really compete at the level they have to in the Pac-12 in the front court, you know, you go up against teams like Utah, you know, it seems like they did a better job than Washington though. You know, so we'll have to see. We'll just have to see what they can come up with. They're working on it. I mean, Carter Skaggs had a really nice season. It's his first year in the Pac-12. Can shoot it, you know. And again, you know, another sophomore along with Flynn. And Deontay Daniels also along with Robert Franks, a junior, he'll be back for his senior year. He's had a nice coming of age season. And I think we'll have I think he's primed for a big time senior year next year. You know, I think that, I think there's some guys that can play there. Pollard is just a sophomore. So hopefully he'll improve, get stronger, get bigger. And things will improve, but they just need more. They just need more big men. I mean, the guys they got, you know, these JC guys have not worked out that great. So, you know, hopefully that'll change. Hopefully that'll change. We'll just leave it at that. You know, we got a few more minutes here to talk. The other big news really out there is that Oregon, well, for one thing, Boise State is really hanging in there. They're right behind Nevada, who we talked about earlier with Coach Hayford. They're right behind Nevada. And Boise State is, they're just getting it done. They're just plain getting it done once again. And, you know, I mean, hey, we didn't even talk about, which we will be talking about next week for sure, is Gonzaga. I mean, Gonzaga is ranked number six in the country. I mean, they're ranked number six in the country. Are they the sixth best team in the country? I don't know. They don't play anybody. They're not playing anybody. They're struggling with LMU. They're, you know, but this is how you do it. They proved themselves convincingly in November and December, and then in the WCC they've hung in there. They've lost some games in the WCC. I'm surprised they're number six in the country, but St. Mary's has a lot of respect. They have a lot of respect, and they've done amazing well in that WCC league to garner the kind of respect it takes for Gonzaga in the WCC to be number six in the country with a record that is not, like, you know, undefeated. I mean, it's just amazing to me. It really is amazing. But that's what's going on. That's what's happening. They've lost four games, you know. Gonzaga's lost four games, and they're the number six team in the country out of the WCC. I mean, they lost to Florida, who's number seven, okay. They lost to Villanova, who's number four. They lost to San Diego State, who's arguably playing well, and that was on the road. And they've lost to their conference rival, St. Mary's, who's in the top 15, I believe, at this time. So, yeah, I guess that being said, they look like, when you look at the losses, they look like that's an okay resume for the number six team. But who have they beat? Who has Gonzaga beat? I don't mean to be the negative guy here, but it's like St. Mary's is no longer in the top 15. They're number 20 and 22 in the two polls, excuse me. But who has Gonzaga beat this year? Let's take a look at it. Okay. They beat Ohio State. That is very convincing and a very good win, okay? Early in the year, albeit, but that really helps them. They beat Texas, who really has struggled this year, but is finishing well. So that makes them look good right now. Okay, they beat Creighton. That's a very good win. So that's their good wins. They beat a Washington team that's not so bad, and they really killed them. And they beat a whole lot of bupkis in the WCC. Okay, they beat St. Mary's, week or so ago. And they beat BYU. And they're facing, in these last two games this week, before going into the tournament, which is a week earlier than the Pac-12 tournament, they're facing USD and BYU on the road. So if they can get through that, if they can get through that without another loss, could this Gonzaga team be a two seed? Could they be a one seed? I mean, these other teams are going to have to face a lot bigger challenges than they will. I can tell you that right now. You look at the rankings, boy howdy. Gonzaga and the WCC tournament and the last two games they have are not going to be the challenges that Virginia is going to face in the Big East, you know, in the ACC. They're not going to be the challenges that Michigan State is going to face, or Villanova in the Big East, or Xavier is going to face, or Duke is going to face. It's just, how are they the number six team? I think that's a great question, and I think we're going to be talking about that very question next week. I have a good feeling with our friend over there, and one of our friends over in Gonzaga. I'm not going to give away who it is. At any rate, this is Jim Bass Night, and I hope I was better at being a good sport this week. I kind of lost it a little couple of times in my characterizations of a couple of these UW people that have really been, you know, taking shots at me, and I apologize for that. I don't want to be that guy, and I'm going to try to turn over a new leaf and always at least aspire to be a good sport. Be a good sport always. So long. We'll see you next week.